This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available every week at thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. I am Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. Just so you guys know, a charnel house is a house under which corpses or bones are piled, or where violent death occurred. Callum Blue plays Alex Reeves, who takes over this former slaughterhouse and renovates it into a stunning loft complex with modern design, including voice-activated pretty much everything. And as the tenants begin to live their lives in their new home, a secret is dying to come out of the walls, and often a mysterious boy is glimpsed in the corridors. The charnel house follows the Reeves family and the tenants as they unravel exactly what is going on. I think you'll enjoy the movie, but I think it's a little different than I expected going in. I thought it was going to be one thing, ended up being another thing, and I really liked the twist that they put on it. It was really interesting. So it's an interesting film, has a great twist on what I thought was going on. Definitely check it out when it hits VOD on November 4th. The film also stars Nadine Velazquez from Flight and The League, as well as Eric Leray Harvey, who you might remember as Diamondback from the recent Luke Cage series. With the film star, Callum Blue, who you might remember from projects like Dead Like Me, The Tudors, Smallville, and numerous other projects, he stopped by The Hollywood Outsider to discuss his new film, why he was drawn to this story, and what it's like screaming at a little kid when you're acting. It's a really interesting interview. He's a great guy. So check it out. The Charnel House, which hits video on demand November 4th. But without further ado, here's my interview with Charnel House star Callum Blue. Hey, Callum, how are you?
How's it going, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, just doing a little interview with some guy in a movie. What about you?
Yeah, just waking up to this beautiful, cloudy weather in Los Angeles. It reminds me of home. So
yeah, where is home? Is England, I assume, with the accent.
Yeah, I'm from England, but I spent the last 13 years in California. So it's been nice. It's been nice.
Nice and sunny every day, all day.
Where are you guys? Where are you now?
Chicago. Great city of Chicago.
Oh, nice. Is it pretty cold in there right now? Or?
Yeah, pretty much from here until roughly June. It's pretty cold.
The poor thing.
Yeah, it's basically a varying degrees of suffering is what it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It is what it is. Before we get into the charnel house, the first question I always want to ask anybody that I ever talk to is, what prompted you to even choose this life? Was there like a singular moment where you realized you wanted to be an actor? Was it a lifelong dream?
I was 5 years old. My grandmother took me to see kind of a local production, just kids up on a stage. And I just remember being in that audience and knowing that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I consider that pretty lucky because I've just had a laser focus about what I wanted. And, you know, I've gone after that. I didn't know how challenging in a great way it would be, but it's been pretty much kind of solidified from then on, to be honest.
What did you find to be the hardest challenge or the greatest challenges, I guess?
Honestly, two things. You know, the lack of routine. So I'm never in the same place for more than a couple of months, which sounds, and there are great elements to that. But for me in particular, I need a routine. Otherwise I get into trouble. And the second challenge, believe it or not, was when I was in my early 20s and I experienced an element of success. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really in tune with who I was and kind of, I hadn't truly defined who and what I am and what I stand for, my morals. So I got swept away with it. Thank God, in the long run, I kind of lost everything and kind of, you know, my success kind of waned out, which is probably the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned a bit of humility and, you know, the fact that all of this is an illusion anyway. So, you know, they were my major challenges. You know, most people would think that success is actually the greatest thing. But for me at that time, personally, that was the biggest challenge.
I appreciate that. That's a very honest answer. A lot of people would probably just say the success. Yeah. So what attracted you to Charnel House? I mean, this is an interesting concept, which I'm going to talk about more in a second. But what brought you to the project to where you wanted to even make it?
Number one, I sat down with the director and the producer, and they were so open to hearing my take on it. they didn't try to hold on to the project and kind of, you know, see it at face value. As an actor and as a person, I always try to look at everything, kind of see what's going on inwardly. Because I do believe that, you know, the outside exterior life is 1% of what's really going on. So when you look inwardly, there's a whole universe that's unexplored basically in the human condition. So that's how I go about with a project and a character. And this project in particular, you know, the fact that this house is being made up exterior on the exterior, and internally there's something dark and unspoken and unfinished going on. That really spoke to me, because I think that we as human beings, we do that. You know, we paint on all of this stuff to try and hide what's going on underneath. But the trick, the thing is, nothing internally is ever going to go away. You have to face it at one point. And, you know, you see this character in this house having to deal with what's gone in the past, even though he's painted all of this kind of beauty over this darkness. So the movie, to me, when I read the script, was all about the human condition. That's what attracted to me in the first place.
I think everybody that watches the movie is going to think it's going to be one kind of movie. And it turns out there's some uniqueness to it that makes it a different kind of a movie, which I don't want to say too much and spoil anything. But in terms of what it's trying to do, is there a certain kind of ghost story that you like, that you prefer as a viewer? Is there a certain kind of ghost story you prefer to see when you go to a movie or when you get involved with a project?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the past, I've definitely been involved in a couple of those slasher kind of gory, you know, glorifying violence movies. I'm not going to lie, I needed the money. But if I were to pick and choose, it would be something that was a lot smarter than that. And, you know, where I'm at right now in my life as well, you know, the glorifying of all that violence doesn't quite sit well with me at the moment. So this really kind of spoke to me, because it really deals with the fact that ghosts are something very spiritual. You know, this, without giving too much away, this guy has a past that he suppressed, and it's the ghosts of kind of what he's been trying to suppress that is just kind of trying to get him to listen and to observe, and he doesn't want to face it, doesn't want to face the ghosts of his past. But, you know, they are adamant that it's going to come out. And to me, it all comes down to the fact that we all as humans have to face our fears. We, in fact, have to run straight toward them for them to go away. So that, to me, is what ghosts are, you know. And if they manifest physically, great. But I believe that they all kind of start inwardly. And it's what we're trying to kind of run away from and look away from, pretending that everything's perfect. And that's the kind of ghost story that fascinates me, a more intellectual kind of, you know, dare I say, spiritual kind of experience.
I think it was definitely that kind of movie. So your character, Alex Reeves, he's trying to craft this modernized loft in the middle of Hell Central, really. And your character is really the hardest to describe, because everything he's going through changes and conflicts throughout the movie. So I don't want to go too much into it, but people, you know, when you're watching a movie, you know that sometimes scenes are filmed out of sequence and everything else, but you're on a roller coaster throughout the film. What was the hardest, the most difficult challenge to even play in the part?
I have to be honest with you. I found the normal dad husband stuff really hard. You know, most people would maybe, because, you know, there's a part where it kind of, you know, without giving too much away, kind of has a meltdown and, you know, some darkness takes hold. Now, that stuff I'm familiar with. I've been there, I've seen it. You know, I can reach down and grab that side of it. It's the normal kind of lovey-dovey, good father, husband stuff that I had a problem with. I had to do some research. I had to do some research on how to be normal. So, you know, I definitely kind of gravitate more toward the roles that are kind of exploring the darkness, as long as there's always the light and contrast as well, which there is in this movie. But yeah, those parts where, you know, I'm with my kid and, you know, it's just normal dad stuff. And yeah, I just, in this lifetime anyway, I'm just completely clueless as to that kind of life.
Well, since you bring that up, I want to bring up something. My favorite scene in the movie is when you kind of, Alex goes off on his daughter, Mia. I'm not going to, you know, for whatever the reasons are. And it's a very intense moment. And it's my favorite moment because usually when you see actors yelling at kids on screen, they almost always hold back just a little bit because, I mean, that is a person yelling at a person and they don't really want to yell at that child. But I really felt like you were yelling at her, and which is a great compliment. But can you tell me, how did you shoot that scene? And does this, is my little Mackenzie Moss like terrified of you or what?
Well, first of all, I knew that scene was coming up, and not that I wouldn't have anyway, because that good little girl is literally one of the brightest, most brilliant, funniest people, let alone kids, that I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. But I did make sure that we developed a bond and a trust, and I took her out bowling, and, you know, we would go for a little outings together, which was such my pleasure because she's amazing. But I made sure that, you know, before that scene, she knew that it was all pretend and play, and I asked her permission if I could go for it, and she said yes. And then we had a big hug afterwards, and aww. You know, I have to make it clear that she had a body double as well, so all the grabbing and the really shouting in the face, that was an adult body double. So, you know, seeing as it was the director's daughter, we didn't feel it was kind of right to kind of abuse the kid. If it wasn't, we probably would have.
If she just would have been hired off the street, then it's okay. Shake him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. Yeah, if it's not the director's daughter, let's, you know, beat the kid up.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We know. You're just kidding. Seriously, yeah. My favorite moment. Yeah. Every time I see somebody do that on screen, it almost always doesn't work.
Yeah, it was important to me that none of these moments came off as cheesy. So we wanted to make everything real. So we did everything that we could to, you know, support that. So we were just very lucky that we had a little girl that really understood. She's a professional, and we went for it, and she loved it. She loved pretending. I mean, that's what kids get. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if adult actors get this as much. You know, this is all imagination. This is all play world. This is all kind of, you know, this is why I fell in love with this job in the first place. You know, you get to pretend. You get to put yourself in these situations you normally wouldn't be in. And there's a separation that kids get that adults find it harder, I feel like. So, you know, there's a lot to learn from kid actors, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I know I got to let you go here soon. I do want to ask, do you have a favorite moment of your own from the film, either filming it or the movie itself, that you can discuss without obviously spoiling anything?
You know, there's a transition that happens with this character, and there's him before and after. What I find interesting in life in general is the in-between moments of these transitions, the kind of the peace before the storm. And there's a couple of moments that he's in between both worlds. And, you know, the darkness is calling him and begging him to remember. And he's still stuck in this kind of nice fatherly and husband role. And there's these in-betweens of touching madness, the tipping point before it happens fully. And I like to live my life in that way, you know. I think David Bowie said the way that he approaches art is, you know, when you're in the ocean, your toes are just touching the bed of the ocean. And sometimes a wave comes and kind of puts them up from the ocean floor. And it's a bit scary, but it's exciting at the same time. There's a few moments in the movie just like that. And that's how I like to kind of approach not just my acting, but my life. Yeah.
Excellent. And last question. You've done a lot of film. You've done a lot of TV. You've been notable in both. Is there a preference for you in terms of the medium, or you just search for the best part?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just if the role speaks to me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, especially nowadays, and especially with cable shows, HBO, Showtime, Stars, you know, mm-hmm. there are some brilliant TV shows and there's some awful movies. So wherever the good directors, producers, the collaborators, that's where I'm going to be going. Yeah. So it doesn't matter to me. And it's sometimes nice with a TV show that you can stay with a character for a while, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe not this character, because then think of all the innocent kids that would be shaken across the country.
Yeah, not only the kids, but I don't think I'd be able to survive it either.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Way too crazy.
I just wanted to say thanks again for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. It was really nice chatting to you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Best of luck on the release.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, buddy.
Take care.
All right. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, and that was Callum Blue. Now, you have seen him in a lot of movies and a lot of television shows, but hopefully you will go check this one out. The Charnel House hits video on demand November 4th. I think he's a really down-to-earth, just regular guy. And those are my favorite artists to talk to because he's willing to open up and give honest answers as opposed to the same talking points a lot of them have as they, you know, go about their press junkets. Very open, very honest guy. Really, really did appreciate him stopping by, and I hope you guys give the movie a chance. So once again, thanks for listening to this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. You can always find us each week providing you the best in movie and television. We try to bring interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can, so I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you currently use. Our normal show is every single week and available at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or check out The Charnel House on video on demand, buy popcorn.